Our theme this hour is the city as muse, how certain cities have inspired their artists. Now, you might be surprised to hear that Alfred Hitchcock, that proper British gentleman, made several movies in and around San Francisco. Shadow of a Doubt, The Birds, and most famously, Vertigo, which used the city's tall buildings and high vistas to play up Jimmy Stewart's fear of heights. Hitchcock loved San Francisco. In fact, he had a home nearby for over 30 years, and his San Francisco films show an intimate knowledge of the city. Writers Jeff Kraft and Aaron Leventhal live in the Bay Area, and they're both avid Hitchcock fans. They've now put together a book called Footsteps in the Fog, Alfred Hitchcock's San Francisco. They told Ann Strange Champs it's a kind of walking tour of the filmmaker's city. Aaron Leventhal.
We're obsessed, to put it very simply. We watched this film so many times that I find it difficult actually to go back and watch Vertigo. But in essence, what we did is we walked in Hitchcock's footsteps by watching the films that he did, researching the permits he filed, the notes that he took, even the production schedules that he followed, in order to better identify the actual locations that we saw on film.
Jeff, in Vertigo, wouldn't you say that he really kind of makes the city a character in the film? I mean, describe that opening shot, for instance. It's very famous.
Sure, yeah, the opening shot, it lets the audience immediately know that the film is taking place in San Francisco. And what you have is a rooftop chase sequence where a criminal is being chased by the main character, Scotty Ferguson, and a police officer across the rooftops of sort of Lower Knob Hill in San Francisco. And you have this sort of dramatic panoramic arc of San Francisco, which you can see almost all of the famous San Francisco landmarks in downtown. You can see the Southern Pacific Railroad building, the Bay Bridge, the skyscrapers on Montgomery Street, which were the tallest buildings west of Chicago. And you just know immediately that you're in San Francisco. You see Coit Tower, and you immediately have this sense of the bay, of the panoramic views, and sort of the drama of the city.
And then it's his acrophobia that leads him to become kind of the mark or the victim in this complex murder plot. There's a scene at the beginning of the movie that I really love where the two guys, Jimmy Stewart, Scotty, has gone to visit Gavin Elster, this old college friend who's moved to San Francisco. And it begins with it's just these two guys talking about the city. And then it segues into this moment when Jimmy Stewart is kind of first drawn into the murder plot. Well, actually, we've got that clip, so we should just go ahead and play that.
My wife's family is all gone. Someone has to look after her interests. So I decided, as long as I had to work at it, I'd come back here.
You like it, huh?
Well, San Francisco's changed. The things that spell San Francisco to me are disappearing fast. Color, excitement, power, freedom.
What's in your mind, Gavin?
Scotty, do you believe that someone out of the past, someone dead, can enter and take possession of a living being?
No.
If I told you that I believe this has happened to my wife, what would you say?
Well, I'd say take her to the nearest psychiatrist. I'd have him check on you, too.
You know what I love, too, about that scene is that it just goes to the meticulous nature that Hitchcock uses to approach his films. Throughout Vertigo, he had people go to Ranzahoff's, which is a very high-end shopping center, or to have the women go to Elizabeth Arden's to get their hair done, have women wear white gloves. Everything just oozed the time of 1957, 58, San Francisco.
Well, and he used a lot of real locations in the movie The Flower Shop, for instance, in which you first see Madeline go and get this little bouquet that matches the bouquet of a painting that she goes to see. That flower shop was a real place, right?
It was a real place. It was called Podesta Baldacci, and it existed on Grant Street near Union Square. And in fact, the story about filming in the flower shop goes that Hitchcock was so meticulous about exactly the way he wanted the scene to look that they had to replace all the flowers in the flower shop several times because the lamps that were required for filmmaking were so hot they wilted all the flowers. And he wanted to get the exact right pattern of traffic passing through the window and things like that. You know, so he did so many long takes in the shop.
But why do things like that? Surely it would have been easier for him just to construct a set with a flower shop.
Hitchcock actually became very well known before Vertigo, shooting in 1943 in Santa Rosa, Shadow of a Doubt, for being a director who was willing to take chances and doing things differently than other directors. And one of the main things that he was known for in that film was going during wartime, 1943, directly into a town and basing his whole film on the streets and the life of that city. And that was very unusual at that time.
You're talking about the movie Shadow of a Doubt.
Shadow of a Doubt, 1943, with Joseph Cotten and Teresa Wright. And in many ways, it's a time capsule for the way Santa Rosa looked in 1943. You see military people just walking the streets right through the scene. You see, you know, the small town library.
Why was that so important to Hitchcock, do you think? I mean, it just he had this kind of documentary sensibility to him?
He was very into his films having a dramatic, powerful psychological impact on his audience. And I think part of his philosophy was that very, very authentic details gave his films a richness and a believability that actually helped, of course, promote and enhance the suspense that he was driving for.
Well, Shadow of a Doubt is one of the other, what you could think of as Hitchcock's three kind of signature Bay Area films. And in this one, he's created Santa Rosa as the small town that he sets up in contrast to the wicked big city, which is where Uncle Charlie comes from. But just run through the plot a little bit, would you, just to remind us what that movie's about?
Sure. In Shadow of a Doubt, Uncle Charlie, who is the merry widow murderer who has relationships with rich older widows and then kills them, is on the East Coast, in the sort of decrepit, decaying East Coast, and he needs to escape town because things have gotten a little bit too hot for him. So he wires his family out in the all-American, lovely small town of Santa Rosa, California. And Uncle Charlie comes to town and meets sort of his twin or his double, which is Young Charlie, the nickname of the oldest daughter in the Newton household in Santa Rosa. And eventually, Young Charlie becomes suspicious of Uncle Charlie, that he really is the merry widow murderer, and he tries to kill her.
You know, the signature of so many of his movies is he'll take a perfectly ordinary setting, and then he'll gradually add this note of menace and foreboding. He does that just so beautifully. For instance, there's one of my favorite scenes in Shadow of a Doubt is, you know, that one when Uncle Charlie is at the family dinner table, and his sister tells him that he's been asked to give a little lecture at the local women's institute or something. And, well, here's how the rest of the scene goes.
What sort of an audience would it be?
Oh, women like myself, busy with our homes, most of us.
Women keep busy in towns like this. The cities, it's different. The cities are full of women, middle-aged widows, husbands dead.
Husbands who've spent their lives making fortunes, working and working. Then they die and leave their money to their wives, their silly wives. And what do the wives do, these useless women? You see them in the hotels, the best hotels, every day by the thousands, drinking the money, eating the money, losing the money at bridge, playing all day and all night, smelling of money, proud of their jewelry, but of nothing else. Faded, fat, greedy women.
But they're alive, they're human beings.
Are they?
That's such a great scene and so eerie and so contrasts, you know, the big city evil Uncle Charlie with the good, virtuous small town people.
And, sure. And the viciousness and hatred that he speaks with is just really shocking and chilling.
Yeah. The other signature Bay Area film, of course, is The Birds, which was set in another small town around the Bay Area. How did that movie come about?
Well, The Birds was based on a Daphne du Maurier novel set in the English countryside. And Hitchcock liked the story, thought it would be an amazing technical challenge to try and create the special effects of The Birds, but he wanted a more contemporary, more updated setting. And he actually thought that Northern California in many ways reminded him of England. The weather was somewhat similar in the dramatic coastal areas. And so in his mind, he thought it would be exciting to set the film in a somewhat isolated area in Northern California, but that was still close enough to the major metropolitan area of San Francisco for a short weekend trip.
And it was a wonderful start to the film. It's Tippi Hedren walking across Union Square. A cable car goes by in order to really give you a sense, just in those first, you know, 30 seconds of the film, the feeling for San Francisco and how kind of stylish it is and how even sunny and bright it is, even though as she looks up, she hears kind of birds circling over Union Square, just a hint of menace, but nevertheless, otherwise, it's very kind of happy and cheery as she goes into the pet shop, which is a great contrast to her then driving up the coast. And Hitchcock decisively added the driving scene so you could get a sense of separation from the big city so that you would feel when the birds actually do attack that you are at your own devices. You have to use your own resources. You can't just escape back to the big city. It's too far.
There was an actual case of birds attacking residents or birds infiltrating a small town along the coastal area, wasn't there?
Yeah, it's interesting. After Hitchcock had decided he wanted to make the birds, and he knew he wanted to set it in Bodega Bay in Northern California, Hitchcock heard about a bird incident that occurred just south of his weekend home near Santa Cruz, where thousands of birds, people think they either got lost in the fog or they ate toxic anchovy fish, and they swarmed into Capitola, smashing into streetlights, breaking windows, crashing into cars, and just leaving a total mess. And so Hitchcock heard about this, and then he actually wove the actual descriptions of the bird incident in Santa Cruz into some dialogue that occurred at the Tides restaurant in the movie The Birds.
I hardly think a few birds are going to bring about the end of the world.
These weren't a few birds.
Really, let's be logical about this.
What were the crows after at the school?
What do you think they were after, Miss...
Daniels. I think they were after the children.
For what purpose?
To kill them.
Why?
I don't know why.
I thought not.
Say, something like this happened in Santa Cruz last year. The town was just covered with seagulls.
That's right, sir. I recall it. A large flock of seagulls got lost in the fog and headed into the town where all the lights were.
And they made some mess, too, smashing into buildings and everything.
Of course, this was all in the days before big-time special effects. How did he actually get the effect of all those birds attacking people?
Well, in many ways, Hitchcock was an innovator of, quote, special effects that we now think of in you know, modern films. It's very common, computer-generated special effects. Even now, you can still see that he did meticulous work adding real birds wherever possible, but matting them in or drawing them in when he needed. He actually used robotic birds. He used all different techniques to try to get the 10,000-plus birds onto the scene at any one time.
But in some scenes, they were real birds. I mean, for instance, what about the most gruesome scene when Tippi Hedren is attacked in the house upstairs at night?
Sure. And in that case, there were real birds. There were also stuffed birds. That I think there's a stuffed bird on her shoulder that you can see one time. But in that scene, he did use real birds, and he actually didn't tell Tippi Hedren that he was going to use real birds until she actually came onto the scene. So she was a little out of sorts filming that scene, which obviously is revealed on film. And what they did is they, in some cases, tied the birds to her so that they couldn't get very far. So, in fact, she was struggling with real birds at that time and did actually sustain a fairly severe gash on her face from that experience.
That sounds pretty nightmarish.
Yeah, it does.
Aaron Leventhal and Jeff Kraft talk with Ann Strangechamps. Their book is called Footsteps in the Fog, Alfred Hitchcock's San Francisco.